in the single digits and below. Tomorrow, a fast-moving system will bring another chance for light snow. High temperatures today will range from the teens across Iowa, Wisconsin, and northern Illinois to the low 30s in southern Missouri. Low temperatures tonight will range from near zero in western Iowa and northern Illinois to the mid-20s in southeastern Missouri. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, cloudy and very cold with a chance of snow, the high 18 with a wind from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, decreasing clouds, expect a low of 8. The wind will be out of the west from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a chance of snow. We'll see a high in the mid-20s. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low around 15. The wind will be out of the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the low 30s and a light southwest wind. The wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour Sunday afternoon. Sunday night, partly cloudy with the temperature holding near steady in the low 30s. And for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. It will be warmer. Look for a high in the mid 40s. Monday night, rain is likely. The low will be in the mid 30s. At noon Central Time, most locations across Illinois and Indiana were reporting flurries or light snow. Temperatures ranged from the mid-teens to the low 20s. At Rockford, 19, O'Hare, 22, in Bloomington, 16, Mattoon, 18, in Carbondale, it was 23 degrees at the top of the hour. 20 degrees at South Bend, 19 degrees at Lafayette and Terre Haute. Indianapolis reported 18 degrees. 18 degrees also reported at Willard Airport. Light snow reported at the top of the hour. The dew point, 12. The relative humidity, 77%. The wind out of the west at 23, that giving us a wind chill of 0. The barometric pressure, 29.96 and falling. And that's our noon hour look at the weather. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In Greenville, South Carolina, the U.S. industrial past and future can be seen side by side. The production line structure of the Standard Motor Company in Greenville is a prime example of the effects of automation and robotic applications to the manufacture of goods. As part of a story co-reported with The Atlantic magazine, Adam Davidson of NPR's Planet Money team reports on the future of manufacturing as seen through the eyes of workers.
Larry Sills runs Standard Motor Products, like his dad did, and so did his grandfather. They make replacement parts for car engines. He grew up with the company, and he has seen the workforce change over the years. A few decades ago, a lot of his workers had no high school diploma. Some of them were even illiterate.
We had a plant in Connecticut where we didn't realize it, but they were illiterate. And then when we switched to the next level, the next generation, we had to be able to read the instructions. To our astonishment, they couldn't do it.
But in today's factory, they don't just have to know how to read.
Yeah, we have a microscope, a height stand, snap gauges, ID gauges. We use bore mics, go, no-go plugs.
That's Ralph Young, the perfect model of the new factory worker. He has an encyclopedic knowledge of metals and microscopes, gauges and plugs. He works on the team that makes fuel injectors, which require precision engineering, performed by an automated machine run by a computer process known as CNC.
When I came here 20 years ago, we didn't have CNC equipment. It was more of the hammer and screwdriver fix to where now it's all finesse.
Now it's all finesse. That could be the motto of American manufacturing today. And not everyone has the finesse to run a CNC machine. Now, I can read. I've had some computer classes. I have a BA. But when I asked Ralph's boss, Tony Scalziti, if he would hire me and train me on the job if I had enough education and skill, his answer surprised me.
No, of course not. The risk of having you be able to come up to speed with training would be a risk I wouldn't be willing to take.
What's the risk?
Well, like Ralph said, we could train you for 6 months and you don't get it.
To become like Ralph, I'd have to learn the machine's computer language. I'd have to learn the strengths of various metals and their resistance to various blades. But then there's something I don't think I'll ever be able to achieve. It's the ability that Ralph and other expert machine operators have, the ability to picture dozens of moving parts in their head. Half the people Tony has trained over the years just never were able to get that skill. And if you don't get that skill, a mistake on this machine can be catastrophic. All the work that's done here happens on a scale of microns. One micron is 0.04 of an inch. A human hair, for example, is 70 microns thick. Here, you cannot be off by 1/10 the thickness of a human hair.
A 7 or 8 micron wrong adjustment in this machine costs us $25,000 work head spindle. 2 seconds, we could lose $25,000.
In 2 seconds?
In 2 seconds.
Why I wouldn't hire you.
Because you think I'd probably do that.
On accident,
yeah.
It's not all Ralphs who work here. There are still remnants of the old, low-skilled assembly line. Madeline Maddie Parlier is more like the old style of worker. She does have a high school diploma, but no further education. And she works on a simple machine that seals the cap of a fuel injector onto the body. All she does is insert 2 parts and push a button. It requires no discretion, no judgment, no special knowledge. There's only one way to run it, the right way.
How long does it take to learn this?
It takes like not even 5 minutes. Because it does it for you. All you do is just put the piece in, push the clamps down, and push your finger.
There are a lot of things Ralph knows that Maddie wishes she knew. She wants to know how many microns thick the different parts are. She wants to know the computer language used on the machine she runs. She wants to know all the things that make Ralph's job prospects so much brighter than her own. And until she knows those things, her future is just not going to be certain at all. Maddie has a job, I learned, because of some simple math. A machine could easily replace her. A robotic arm could put the parts in and take them out, but it would cost around $100,000. Maddie makes a lot less than that, and for now, the math is in her favor. Now, let's say the price of a robotic arm goes down, or a factory in China learns how to make these parts for a lot less. Then Maddie's job would be at risk. Simple calculations like that have cost around 5 million factory workers their jobs over the last decade. Just because the calculation is simple doesn't mean the decision to lay off workers is easy. Larry Sills, CEO of Standard Motor Products.
It's gut-wrenching. And we try, because we are a family company. We're not a big Wall Street type company. We're a family company. We have a very strong loyalty to our people, and we think they feel the same back. So this is brutal.
So if the decision is so brutal, why does he do it in the first place? Why not just keep those workers on?
The decision is not made by us. The decision is made when the consumer walks into Walmart and there's 2 products on the shelf. And one is made in this country and one is made in China. And the one in China is 50% cheaper than the one that's made here. And they choose the one that's made in China. That's when the decision is made.
This is why Standard Motor Products has outsourced parts like electric relays or air conditioning compressors to factories in low-wage countries. Maddie knows all this. She knows she's not living in the old days. She worries about the technology or the low-wage worker abroad that could replace her. She knows that unless she learns some of the things that Ralph knows, she probably won't have a job this good for long. But she's a single mom with 2 kids.
I want to go back to school, but it's the time. If I want to go back, I have to go back on my time, and I don't have time. You know, when I get off work, I go pick my kids up, and that's it. My life revolves around my children.
What do you think education, like if you don't get education, let's just say for whatever reason, you just never go back to school. What do you think that means for your future?
I'm always going to be where I am. I mean, to be honest.
The sad thing is, she'll only be where she is now if she's lucky. This is the true challenge of American manufacturing, of the American economy overall. How do we get the Maddies to become like the Ralphs? In the old days, Maddie would learn on the job. That's what Ralph did. He didn't have to pick between paying his bills and having a future. But now the gap between the skilled and the unskilled is so vast that often the only way to make the leap is by leaving work and getting some education. And that's just not financially feasible for a lot of Americans. Adam Davidson, NPR News.
It's 12:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Banks in New York City and elsewhere in the U.S. have announced tens of thousands of job cuts. Charlie Herman from member station WNYC has that story.
Wall Street is bracing for huge layoffs.
Of the uneasy economy, there's word today that some of the biggest firms may be handing out the proverbial pink slips.
Starting firm-wide layoffs of 4,500 workers higher than
It's not like the massive layoffs following the 2008 meltdown. But last year was painful for Wall Street. Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman, Morgan Stanley, almost all the big banks announced layoffs totaling more than 60,000 jobs. It's not surprising considering that in one quarter last year, the securities industry lost $3 billion. For the full year, the industry is expected to have made money, but only half what it did compared to the previous year. Nancy Bush with NAB Research says with businesses and consumers still focused on reducing debt,
there just is not the same need for financial services as a whole as there was before. And that's why you're seeing the banks respond to the present environment with layoffs, branch closures, et cetera, et cetera. We just don't need them anymore. It's that simple.
Also, there are fewer big corporate deals. Doing those deals brings in a lot of money for banks. And there's been a drop in company stock and bond offerings that generate big fees. Bank analyst Dick Beauvais works for Rockdale Securities.
If you've got a business which is built around trading and investment banking, you got a problem because you're not generating the type of earnings that you would like.
Then there are all the new rules limiting, for example, the fees banks can charge retailers for debit card transactions. They've been cut in half. Banks used to make profits trading with their own money. Now that's being curtailed by regulators who say it's too risky. Regulators are also requiring banks to put more money aside in case of future financial downturns. That might make them safer, but it means Wall Street has less money to invest or lend. And then there's the general climate of caution.
People don't want to take risks because they are uncertain about the future.
Paul Miller is a bank analyst at FBR Capital Markets. He cites the fears about Europe's debt crisis as a top reason for Wall Street's falling profits.
Until people get more bullish on the future, it's going to be very difficult for Wall Street to make money, and they will continue to shed employees, and they will continue to cut people's pay.
Bonuses for 2011, which are being handed out now, are expected to be as much as 30% lower compared to a year ago. Bank analyst Nancy Bush says people are happy to have a job.
Last year, there was this generalized groaning about, you know, payouts being down, about their bonuses being down. This year, not a peep. You know, they're down again, but I think people left on Wall Street are very much thinking, you know what, it's good that I have a job.
Smaller bonuses may please critics of Wall Street, but to put things into perspective, average salaries for these workers last year, that doesn't include bonuses, was over $360,000. And top executives and the biggest deal makers will continue to earn millions.
Wall Street tends to go through these paroxysms of, you know, growth and contraction. This is different. This is the financial services industry looking at its prospects, I think, over a long period of years.
And the outlook in the years ahead is for a smaller, more stable, and less profitable industry. For NPR News, I'm Charlie Herman in New York.
Supporting WILL doesn't have to break the bank, and every gift counts. You can become a sustaining member with a continuous monthly gift of just $5 or $10. That adds up to significant support over the membership year. Our sustaining members, people just like you, provide a solid foundation that allows WILL to offer our community the best in programming choices. Check out the sustainer options when you contribute online